Welcome to Land Ho, a Sea of Thieves podcast. I'm your host, Michael, and joined with me is Brian. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Michael? How's it going?
It's going great. Really excited that the game has finally come out. However, there have been some hiccups this week.
Most definitely. Lots of issues. Not really what I expected out of this game to begin. Kind of a rocky start, but they're making it better.
So let's kind of jump into some of those issues. I if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know them already, but from what we've seen, it's players at the beginning didn't have the ability to get into games during quote-unquote peak times, as Rare said, which is between 2 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. Rewards, reputation, delayed Xbox achievements, delayed for a lot of players, including me, the DLC packs did not come in till over the weekend. Performance issues, especially on the Xbox One X. And so the big question is this valid for a AAA title to have these types of issues while everyone's trying to get onto the game?
I definitely don't think any of these issues are justified. Rare is a legitimate game studio. They're not some indie developer putting out a huge game like this, in which case I'd give them a break. I mean, this is definitely a lot of players on a lot of different servers trying to communicate with each other in this open sandbox situation. So I definitely do not think that it's acceptable, especially after having the betas and the scale tests. Basically, what seemed like an effort for them to get ready for launch, and then launch arrives and they did not have their stuff together.
Right. I mean, the point of the scale test, I think there was like three or four of them, was to be able to determine like how the company's going to scale. And it's not as easy as the company is cheaping out, not buying servers. There's more than just server space. It's scaling to everything that's happening in the game. During the scale test, they had, especially in the final beta, a lot of players. And obviously at launch, they had everyone who's interested in the game come in. Just because the different betas are separated and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of calculations going on with the amount of gold you're turning in, reputation points, the messaging on the screen that you see. There is a lot going on. So it's not as simple as like Rare cheaping out, not buying enough server space. So they do have to scale towards the amount of players, and maybe they won't have to anymore if there's been a dip maybe in player growth or player consistency. We're not really sure because that's not something they're telling us exactly, but I do want to mention that although I don't necessarily forgive them for it, it's not as simple as like buying more server space, essentially.
Right, I understand that. But at the same time, if they've had all these tests in preparation for this exact issue and then the game comes around and they have the same issues that they had in the final beta where people couldn't get on, like I just think that they have to be ready for that. They have to over-prepare, potentially have more server space, trying to get all these things, all these servers communicating with each other in preparation for more players than they expect. I think that a major game studio should be prepared like that, but they weren't. And it's kind of a bad look for the game, considering how much hype went into it and how many people were really excited to play it, and then they tried to log on and couldn't play it at all.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the news that came out at launch was the lack of the servers working together, and then eventually they actually stop letting players in, and that's pretty frustrating, especially if you, like me, bought the game at full price. It is a little bit disheartening, and Rare is an amazing studio, clearly, but they aren't an indie studio. Like, they have the backing of Microsoft, so I personally think it shouldn't have happened. Yeah, I do understand and hope that it seems like it's mostly resolved, but it's fully resolved within a week. Otherwise, it's really going to hurt the game's success.
It's just an overall bad look. I mean, they'll get over it. People will get over it in a week or two when these issues are fixed. People aren't really going to be talking about that. They're really just going to focus on the actual game and the content that they're playing and whether they're having fun or not. But I mean, to have that bad publicity at start is just a bad look for Microsoft, especially as they're trying to push their whole Game Pass and everything. So it was just kind of a perfect storm of all these issues coming together.
So, you know, we're kind of gathering our thoughts on what we think of the game. We've also seen only a couple outlets give either like a full review or like a preliminary review. it's hard to review the game because we technically haven't fully played out the entire game, right? The Pirate Legend status thing. And as far as we've seen, there hasn't been any Pirate Legends within the first week. But, you know, we'll talk about our thoughts, but just a couple that we've seen. Polygon put out their final review. It was 6.5 out of 10. Pretty much just saying the things that everyone's saying. Lack of content. The gameplay loop isn't worth it. There's no reward system. That's kind of basically what they said. Although the game is beautiful, it's great for the first couple hours. They're just like, well, okay, you make your own fun in the game, but like, it's just like not that much content there. And they gave it a 6.5. And I think they put out their review literally 2 days after launch.
It's just pretty tough to put out a review this early. We were talking a little bit before about it's so hard to, after 10, 20 hours of gameplay, to put out a final review. You can put out a preliminary review, but to put out a final review this early into the game, even though I tend to agree with what they had to say, it's just kind of difficult without having fully experienced everything, working out all the kinks, learning all the tips and tricks, doing everything that the game has to offer, because they haven't even gotten to Pirate Legend status yet. So to just put out a final review this early is kind of whack. But, I mean, I do agree a little bit with what they had to say.
Right. It's all, like, the most common, like, feedback that players are giving. And IGN gave a review in progress so far, which I really like their approach of kind of at least giving us some sort of review, yet they understand that they haven't really played everything that the game has to offer. And they gave it a 7 out of 10 so far as of Sunday. When you listen to this podcast, I believe their full review will be out. However, they do recognize that it's going to just take way too long to get to Pirate Legend for them personally. So it's, you know, hopefully maybe these companies will like review the game again after we find out what kind of happens after Pirate Legend status, as well as a number of other gaming websites that still haven't yet put out their review.
That kind of brings up another issue that IGN doesn't even, they're acknowledging the fact that it's going to take way too long to get a full, like a legitimate full review out, because it's going to take so long to get to Pirate Legend. Like, that's kind of, I think it's a little weird that it's taking this long, or however long it will end up taking, to experience the end game, which Rare has talked up a lot about this game, how that's where the game truly begins.
And they've said that verbatim, like, the game truly begins at Pirate Legend status. And, you know, I, as well as I've probably put in probably like a good, maybe 30 hours so far. I'm just trying to really get a hold before coming on today and recording. I just wanted to make sure I got a full, just as much as possible in the game to talk about today. But I've been also, when not playing, been following a crew on Twitch, and they've probably put in, I want to say to the 70 to like, I'm just kind of, this guy said that he's put in at least 100 hours, but I think it's around like 70 to 100. And they're in the mid-30s, and you're supposed to get 50 across the board on all three factions to get to Pirate Legend status. So, I mean, it really seems like it could be 150 to 200 hours. And they're like, and on the most part, they're like grinding pretty hard.
I think it's kind of ridiculous, personally. For, I mean, it's not really a storyline, like a main story that you have to play through in order to access the end game, like in Destiny. Like, this is kind of the game, but it's not really the game. So it's kind of a weird way that Rare structured it to have players get to level 50. I mean, that's, you're talking 150 levels of reputation that you need to get to in order to access Pirate Legend. That's kind of a lot. I mean, I could see like level 30 for each faction to be a little bit reasonable, but you're asking people to gain so much reputation in order to just start playing what they call the real game. It's kind of weird to me, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see how long these streamers, it takes them to get to Pirate Legend status.
I'm guessing this coming weekend, probably, though I wouldn't be surprised if it took till like another week. There are pros and cons with, like, you know, on the pro, you get a ton of hours, like theoretically, right? You're getting a ton of hours into the game, and it's like worth your money. You get like 150 hours and like the best stuff you haven't even played yet. That's awesome. But on the contrary, if the game quote unquote begins at the end game and you're asking players to commit like over 100 hours just to get to that other point, I think it's going to turn off casual gamers. Even like, and they'll probably wait for the game to come on sale. Like, I just think that that's pretty ridiculous. And you know, we haven't seen what the Pirate Legend part is, but if it's kind of rehashing what we have right now, I think that could be a really bad sign for the game personally. That's what I'm thinking right now.
There's a lot of potential issues with it, like you said, that the casual gamer isn't really gonna wanna put in that much time to get to the real game. I mean, I haven't played the game that long, and I'm like level 11 with two of the factions and level 5 with one of the other ones. So I'm already thinking that this is gonna take a ridiculous amount of time to get to Pirate Legend status. But if they want it to be exclusive and this thing that's like almost unobtainable for most people, then they've kind of got their wish there. But I think it's kind of an unreasonable ask for most players. I'm talking like 75% of the player base probably. That's kind of an unreasonable ask, because the life of a game for some people could be like 100 hours. And in this game, you might not even achieve Pirate Legend status within that time frame.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I ca yeah, that's definitely, I agree with all that. And this isn't necessarily like a turn off for casual gamers. Like, they're just trying to have a good time. And I personally, and like, we'll get into like our personal thoughts, but I personally really love the game a lot, despite the issues that are very evident in the game. I think casual gamers maybe will pick up the game, just like have fun with their friends. It's a glorified chat room, as some have said. It is just such an unreasonable amount of time. And especially because there isn't too much depth into the game, if it can really draw people for like over 100 hours, it's really to be determined. And this game is, as you've seen, Brian, it's like super divided. There's half people absolutely love the game, don't really care about the depth. They just are like, oh, it's a fun sandbox, yada yada yada. But half the audience is sort of like, I'm kind of bored after like a couple hours. We're doing the same thing over and over again. And that goes into the question, like, I was trying to think today, I don't think there's really many games out there that truly like everyone loved. Like, I think in kind of the current state of gaming, where it seems like gamers are a lot more, give a lot more criticism, a little bit harder on these game studios, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but just like most other games out there, this game just isn't for everyone, and it's going to be criticized. And if you don't think there's a lot of content in the game, then like, don't buy it. A lot of people do love this game. So it again, like, opinions are subjective.
I think it's kind of a good thing, though, that you have this huge divide, because if somebody's kind of in the middle, they don't really know if they want to get this game. They've seen gameplay, it looks a little looks fun, but they see that a lot of people hate it, but they also see that a lot of people love it. I think it might draw them in to try it out, at least to see for themselves if they like it, because it's kind of like it's good publicity, I think, to have such a divide. It gets people interested. Why are people talking about Sea of Thieves? I heard it's great. I heard it's not that great. Let me see for myself. And that could also draw a lot of people in.
Well, especially for Xbox Game Pass, it is genius, like Microsoft putting this into Xbox Game Pass, and I think they're doing that for all their other first party games, but that's also drawing a lot of people in, and it made so much sense that they put it in the Game Pass. A lot of people are picking up that trial and then might forget to unsubscribe and such, and well, they'll get the $10, and maybe players will rather just pay $10 a month and they get some other games. It's I am I agree with what you said, but I'm also kind of worried that like most of what you hear online is the lack of depth and not as much of like the players who like it and have kind of their arguments for like why the game is worth $60 or is you know a great game. I do feel like the negative opinions are kind of overshadowing the positives from the game.
I definitely agree with that. Most of the reviews I've seen from just players is that it's really fun because of the social aspect, and you can go and play with your friends and have goofy moments and crazy adventures. And then the opposite side is that there's no depth. But I do think the negative opinions are drowning out the positive opinions. But I mean, again, this game's not for everybody. But then going back to the 100, 150 hours that you're gonna have to put in to get to the end game, it doesn't really cater to the people who are kind of on the edge if they see a number like that. oh wow, I'm gonna have to put in 150 hours just to get to the good stuff, then it's not necessarily gonna be worth it to them.
Yeah, it could take players a year or never get to that status. I mean, I can speak personally. I think Brian is kind of has a different thinking about it, but like I'm right now, at least I think like 30 hours into the game, like kind of into the 20s, I'm not really thinking about picking up any other game right now. Like I really love the game, and I kind of just for some reason really like collecting the skulls, collecting the chests. Like I kind of get that it's sort of rehashed. It's kind of like these fetch quests, and they all have different skins, and I kind of like it. I like the collectability. I like doing it, and each play session I have is never the same. I think the skull forts are actually really fun. I was kind of critical of them t 2 weeks ago, but I had a really great time doing it over the weekend with a couple crews I found on the Sea of Thieves Discord. It's a great, it's a great community also, which is I really like about the game. But really, this is what it comes down to for this game, and I'm not we can't really say if it's worth it for you because it's the worth $60. It's like different for everybody and such, but like for me, does the game need more content, need a little bit more depth? Absolutely. Is it worth, I mean, is it really a $60 game when you're comparing to other $60 games? In the current state, probably isn't. However, like I'm having a really great time. I love it. I'm so happy to be playing Sea of Thieves, to be talking about Sea of Thieves, even despite the gameplay loop. I actually personally really like it. But like at first it was kind of like, I mean, I don't know if you disagree with this, Brian, but like the full game is basically the same thing as like the betas, minus the Order of Souls faction.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or maybe the Kraken, but
Kraken, have yet to see that, even though it looks a little underwhelming. I'd still like to experience that. But to be honest, after playing the final beta, I was a little turned off just because of the bugs with the skeleton forts and experiencing the Merchant Alliance. It was kind of, not kind of, it was very underwhelming to me. But having played the full game now, really getting to experience the Merchant Alliance and the Order of Souls and everything. I've yet to do another Skeleton Fort raid, which I want to do. But having experienced the other two factions for real, Merchant Alliance needs a lot of work. It's not as bad as it was in the beta, but Order of Souls is definitely really fun. It's a nice change getting more of the combat side versus digging up treasure chests and looking at maps. That's a little bit more fun. But in general, it kind of is the same as the final beta was.
yeah, I think the Merchant Alliance definitely needs to be reworked. That's the one I think most people dread doing, and of course there's like maps and sort of cheats out there, which you really have to, unfortunately, really have to use.
Yeah, it's necessary to look those up. You just can't go out on your own and trying to find chickens on a random island. You just can't. You have to look up a map.
And something that's not being talked about is like I really dread how slow you walk with those like crates when you're going to the island. It's such a drag. Like I get that, I get it. I get it, but it's pretty annoying. It makes the Merchant Alliance just that much more annoying. Maybe when you hold the animal, then you move slowly, but when you're not holding the animal, like it's annoying and it makes it like seem just way more time. It's just way more time consuming than the other factions, and it's cool. It needs to be reworked. I think there needs to be more of like a trading economy that's more trade like that needs to be reworked. I know personally I ran into an issue for the Order of Souls where like the skeletons didn't pop up, even though clearly like we were in the right location. But I think the Order of Souls for me is actually the most fun. I think that's my favorite faction.
It's really cool and really mysterious, and they have really cool reputation items. Once you hit level 5, level 10, level 15, they have a really cool lantern you can buy. You can buy a new cup to hold the grog in, which is really cool. It gives it like a little blue effect. And the skulls are really cool. I like the way they look, and the dynamic around the pirate captains is fun. I definitely like the Order of Souls, but I mean, man, the Merchant Alliance is just such a drag. It's clearly the weakest of the three factions. I've done a couple of their missions, but that one out of all three is definitely the most grindy.
Yeah, it's someone that everyone tracks from who I've played with, and watching people play. It's definitely a dragon, and like I know people like are kind of like exploiting the different parts. Like a lot of players are they keep like refresh they keep canceling the voyage, starting it until they get something like a gold chicken or a golden striped pig. Or a lot of them also like just because the only way to get crates and stuff is when you have a merchant voyage live. So people are kind of just stacking them and kind of just like finding animals as they go, which I think is actually like really helpful. If you just were able to have the crates and kind of collecting the animals as you're doing like gold hoarder voyages, that would be awesome. You're also not able to start a new voyage if you have a merchant alliance one going on. Even if you collect all the animals you need, you still have it live until you turn them in. I just think that stuff needs to be reworked so it's just easier to switch between the voyages. Deleting voyages in inventory is something that 100% needs to be addressed. Like, I think that's not excusable. It's really annoying, like canceling the voyage, having everyone like having to cancel the voyage so that you delete some in your inventory. There is there that that to conjoin the merchant alliance, maybe to thread it with the gold hoarder so that it's not as much of a dragon. It's just like a little bit easier. I think that would be a lot nicer.
I agree. I think one way they could make it a little bit better is to be able to have a Merchant Alliance plus a Gold Hoarder Voyage or an Order of Souls Voyage active at the same time, but have some sort of caveat with it. Right now, they give you something like a week to go to an island, collect a cargo, and bring it back. But if they added some sort of bonus, like if you do it within 3 days of game time versus a week, you get extra money, something like that. So you can have two things active. But if you don't prioritize the Merchant Alliance, you won't get as much money, something like that. And that could maybe help entice people to get the voyages done faster, which I think everybody wants to do, just get these things out of the way. And I think that's one way they can make it better. But in its current state, I don't think anybody wants to play Merchant Alliance.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good idea. Something that kind of incentivizes you even further to turn it in on time. But I mean, for a lot, I think when you're on a galleon, from just the trend I've seen from playing on a galleon, you kind of stock up, you do a bunch of voyages at once and then turn it all in. Whereas like, and I think for most players, they want to just kind of have the animals on the ship and not really worry about it. And I think they won't be too incentivized if that was into effect, like turning it in on time. As far as the sloop, I think on the sloop you're less likely to hold on to stuff as long.
It's all about maximizing playtime. Like, if you have a crew of four on a galleon and everybody has either Gold Hoarders or Order of Souls quests, you can do 12 quests in one trip, basically, without having to go to an outpost. But with Merchant Alliance, if someone has one and you do it, you have to go back to the outpost. So it kind of throws off the whole rhythm that you get into once you start sailing, having to go back to an outpost and turn something in versus just being able to go and collect as much treasure as you want, because that's also really fun. I've seen a lot of people doing that online, posting pictures of like 50 chests on a beach that they've collected over a couple hours of playtime. I think that's something that a lot of people like to do, just go out and get as much stuff as you can in one go. But playing Merchant Alliance, it throws everything off.
It's more efficient. It really slows you down. I feel like when you go to an outpost, it really slows you down. You park the ship and you offload stuff. Then you kind of reload resources, and then people may be like kind of checking out the stores again and kind of chilling. It does slow you down. So anything that can help players just keep going and having the Merchant Alliance kind of having that being able to end once you have all the animals on your ship would be. It would put you on the same footing as the other voyages. When you get the chests on board, the voyage is complete. You can go on to the next voyage. So I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for that. I would also kind of I something that I think people aren't really talking about much is the community in Sea of Thieves. I actually played with a few teams just linking up on the Reddit disc and the community Discord. And I actually thought that was like pretty fun. It's funny because like the first night I played with like really hardcore Sea of Thieves players, which was really cool. Just grinding it out. It was a well-oiled machine. Like everyone had their job. I was at the helm. Like it was really fun. We did really well. We did a skull fort together, and like it was super fun. And then the next night, I kind of had like intermediate, sort of casual, who like didn't exactly know like what they were doing at some points. They were like anchoring the boat, which is kind of the noob thing to do. Lifting the sails will do just fine.
If you're listening and you lift, if you're listening out there, when you lift the sails all the way, your boat completely stops. So you don't need to drop the anchor. You can just raise all the sails and you'll pretty much come to a complete stop. And which helps you a lot. You don't have to raise the anchor, you make a quick getaway. It's just more efficient to just raise all your sails. You can slow down, fully stop, and you never have to use the anchor.
Thanks, Brian. So anyway, yeah, if you're not turning off all your lanterns and you're using your anchor to stop your boat, if you're using your anchor to like turn, whatever, that's cool. But if, yeah, then you're not doing it right. Anyway, the second night, like, it was fun. I led them through like a skull fort. It was really fun. Luckily I had some like really good teammates, and one like stayed on the ship. We fought out some sloops who were trying to like get in. Well, actually we weren't. So I'll talk about the story, Brian. I don't think I've told you. So like at first, we got to this skull fort. There was already a sloop parked in there pretty nicely. Like they were just like sniping from the boat, and we kind of made it known that we were just friends. We told them like we didn't really want to like interfere. They didn't have their mics into game chat, so we couldn't hear them, but they were kind of saying. And so anyway, we were like working together with them, and like one of our guys, I try to make a deal with them in the chat, like, oh, like we'll split it 50-50, you know, through the fight. And eventually they started shooting at us. This was like probably like 15 minutes into it, so like we were like battling it with them, and eventually they started shooting us, and then like a couple of us died, and we took out the sloop. The sloop came back. We killed the sloop. They came back, took them off. And I had a really good teammate who was kind of like fighting them off while and a couple other of the guys were, you know, firing the skulls. And we ended up getting the treasure. We got back and it was all good. So, I mean, there's a lot of like really, there's the players who are willing to, and I think what's really cool about the game, you know, and what doesn't really get addressed that much is like, players all have sort of different favorite parts of the game. And that's really comes down to doing the voyages, grinding out the voyages, doing the skull forts, or those players who just want to like shenanigans, screw with people, PvP. And I'm just looking at the Discord on Sea of Thieves. It's like half, half. Some people are just like, yo, I'm just looking to like chill, PvP, or I just want to grind it out. So I would recommend going to that. That's what's cool about the game, is that there's a couple different aspects. Yeah, there's not that much depth content, but there is a lot to do in the game. I mean, for me personally, I'm not thinking about stopping playing this game. Like I'm having a good time.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people like this game, because there's just so much freedom to just do whatever you want. There's the PvP aspect, or you can do the missions. We were playing yesterday, and we kept getting harassed by these two guys at Cannon Cove. I'm pretty sure they're harassing us because they're on their Order of Souls quest and thought we were trying to steal their loot, which we weren't. We were just trying to do our own thing. But we ended up finding a chest of 1,000 grogs in one of these caves, and every time we went to the island to get the chest, they would just either kill us or sink our ship, and it was super annoying. But it's good that the game has those sort of wild cards. You never know what you're going to get when you log in. We saw a lot of other boats who just sailed right past us. We would stand on top of the deck and wave at them, or use a little in-game chat to say ahoy or something like that, just to let them know.
Rolls over deck laughing.
Yeah, or Roddle, R-O-D-L, just to let them know that we meant no harm, and hopefully they would go on their merry way. But yeah, most people who like this game are in it for the social aspect, and then most people who hate this game say that it's just a chat room to go out and hang out. But it's nice that the game has those wild cards. And a lot of people are saying that this game needs more ships per server, which I think would totally ruin the experience, because the way it is right now, we see a decent amount of ships, and every once in a while you'll get those encounters. But for the most part, I think it's a good balance.
I think we ended up getting that grog chest, right?
Yeah, after like an hour.
Yeah, we stuck it out. We hit it into like the bushes or something, and eventually like we kind of like sailing around, and eventually they left, and we came and we found it in the same spot, which is really tight. I think that's just like one of those like really funny things, like they had no idea what they were missing out on.
Yeah, a little bit of strategy on our part. I took it out of the cave, and I was getting attacked by all these skeletons because of their Order of Souls quest, and I just dropped it in the bushes, and they had no idea, and I was pretty stoked that they never found it.
I wonder if like it would be a good idea. I know, like, some player, like, some people, like, I personally think this sex is fine. I totally understand that some people, that some play, because what's interesting is that we're not all getting the same experience in Sea of Thieves, right? Like, sometimes when I log in, I get harassed right away. Sometimes when I play, I'm smooth sailing, nothing in my way. It's just like everyone has that different experience. So you could see a lot of players being like, oh man, like, I wish there were more ships in the server. Like, I barely see any at all. Like, six is not enough. And then some people are like, oh, six is way too much. Like, six is just right. Like, for me, I think six is just right. I get that happy medium. Though, what could be cool, and I don't think they'll, this is for sure something Rare wouldn't do, but maybe having two playlists, like one being more PvP heavy and one just being the normal six. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea. Maybe run into like a divide, like it's too divided, or maybe people just flock to one server or one, sorry, playlist. I think that would be kind of a cool idea. I don't think it'll happen, but just a thought, maybe.
It's something cool that they could experiment with, like a competitive playlist and then a casual playlist. But yeah, there's probably a lot of issues if people only play the casual playlist, but their Rare is still supporting the competitive playlist, or it just gets too much for their servers to handle if there's like 10 ships on a server, for instance. But I think it's at a good point right now. I mean, we could go an hour or two without seeing any ship, and then within 15 minutes see like four ships all around you. So I think it's at a good spot right now, and it really just depends when you're playing. Like, if you're playing during peak time, you might see a lot more ships, but if you're playing when a lot of, like, half the world's asleep, you might not see any ships.
Right. Yeah, it's just a thought. I kind of think the six is okay. I mean, I remember when I logged on for the first time this morning, like, literally, I had everything ready to go, going on my voyage at, like, four. I had, like, I did a gold hoarder voyage. I put it down on the table, just going solo this morning, casually. And I had, like, four riddles come up. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, I mapped it all out. I undock. I'm, like, start sailing for maybe 5 seconds. A ship already comes and just shoots me down, like, right away. A galleon. So, and then sometimes I go, and for most of the time I'm playing, I barely see any ships at all. It just really depends. And that's why players are going to have just varying experiences, varying feedback. This isn't a structured game that's going to be the same experience for everyone. Yeah, like the gameplay technically is structured in the voyages, but people are going to have different experiences. And so you have to understand, if somebody doesn't like the game, maybe they just had some bad experiences and just unlucky experiences, or some people don't like the gameplay loop. I like the gameplay loop, but I know, you know, Brian has been a little bit critical of the gameplay loop. Yeah, he's still having a good time. We do recognize that, like, there is a lack of depth in the base game right now. And the question is, like, what are Rare's next steps?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. They keep talking about the Pirate Legend thing, legendary status, but they haven't actually put out a ton of real information on what we can expect from that, which is sort of alarming given the transparency that they've had throughout the whole development and everything leading up to launch day. They've been very open with everything that's in the game and plans for the near future, like the 3-month update that they've already announced. And the fact that they're not saying anything about Pirate Legend status, like, kind of is, it's kind of a little weird. Like, it makes me think, like, what is actually there or what isn't there that they don't want to announce yet? Because going back to the 100-150 hours that you're gonna have to put in to get to that point, if there's nothing there that we haven't already seen, people are going to be extremely upset. I can just see the forums right now blowing up, like, legendary status is absolutely nothing, it's the same thing we've been doing forever. Or it could be in the opposite direction, like, this is the greatest thing ever, let's grind it out to get up to that point. Who cares about the gameplay loop? I just want to get to legendary status. So, and we'll have to wait. We'll have to see about that once people hit legendary status. But the fact that they haven't put anything out, even though they've been so transparent up to this point, is kind of alarming.
I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's necessarily a terrible thing that, so they've teased, like, there's going to be a legendary tavern, there's going to be legendary voyages, and your ship, it's going to be known. This is sort of what they've said. In other words, but that's going to be known that you're a legendary pirate. Like, it's going to be obvious. I think it's going to be a special ship, probably. Maybe I'll get some special outfits, whatnot. But if the legendary voyages, aren't that much different than what we've been doing up until level 50, I think that is a little bit disheartening. I am excited for the surprise. Yeah, I'm sure this surprise, it's for sure gonna be spoiled next weekend or the weekend after when somebody reaches pirate level status, pirate legend status. We're just gonna have to wait and see. I mean, and but what Rare has, but what I think what's a little bit in a different way disheartening is that they're not giving any specifics on like what's on the roadmap in the future. Obviously, they're saying it's a service, like they want to support the game for years, but we haven't seen any specifics on any ideas that they have. I know there's gonna be a big update, I think, in June. Besides the microtransactions, really, there's nothing specific that they've laid out yet.
Yeah, maybe alarming is not the right word to describe their lack of information, and maybe they just want people to wait and see and figure it out for themselves what's in store. But I mean, I think a lot of people want to see a roadmap. If you're going to spend $60 on this game and invest 100 to 150 hours in this game, you want to see what you're putting that time towards. So, I mean, it could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I would like to see some information about it. But I mean, we'll find out pretty soon, probably, as far as the end game is concerned. And I think that's really going to be a deciding factor for a lot of people. A lot of people who have seen these early bad reviews, kind of weary of the game now, might want to wait till the game goes on sale or something like that to see if it's worth it then for them. But we'll find out probably, like you said, this weekend, next weekend, what the end game is like, and if it's worth it. That's going to be huge for Rare if they come through. That's going to be big for them, as I think a lot of people are going to pick up the game at that point.
I mean, because you got to think this game has been in development. I think for like it was announced 20 like 15 at E3. I think it started being worked on like a couple years before that. So this game has probably been worked on for like 5 years, and from just it just seems like this is kind of the same thing that's been in the alphas, except they added I think the third faction. It's just like tough to say like what they've been doing this whole time. Obviously, the art. The environment is amazing. I don't think anyone disagrees with that, but the core gameplay definitely needs a little bit more depth. And I think people probably, if they're hesitant, will wait until what Pirate Legend status is going to be and what kind of updates they're going to be. And I mean, Craig Duncan from Rare has said like they hope that people are going to pick this up in a year or in 2 years, and it's still going to be a great experience as if you picked up the game today, which I think is really cool. But the base game today is great, but there are obvious problems that, everyone's addressed. Like we're not like breaking ground here. Like it's pretty obvious, what the problems are.
There's huge room for improvement. Like they've established a really great base game and a really great character and feel to the game. But we don't really know what's in store next. So we'll just have to wait and see.
So that wraps it up for this week. We're of course going to keep playing the game. We're loving the game so far on the most part, despite the problems. We would love to hear from you on what you're thinking about the game. You can always email us at landhopod@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter. We're now on Spotify. You can find us on all the outlets, Stitcher, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. It would really help us if you can subscribe and rate the podcast, giving us feedback, which we would truly, truly appreciate it. Thanks so much and have a great week.